in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Dan Friedell and Ben Golliver wrap up their conversation during Thursday's show. Ben is the national NBA writer for the Washington Post newspaper. He's been talking with Dan about The Last Dance, the 10-part TV documentary series about basketball great Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Dan asked Ben, will young basketball fans who didn't see MJ in his prime gain new appreciation for Jordan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that he was a captivating presence for everybody back at that time period. And the role that television played within that, the role that highlight culture played within that, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that ESPN really came to its maturity kind of at the same time that Jordan was starting to peak. You know, that was like a perfect storm, I think, in terms of spreading his message and his gospel. And certainly, you know, the advertising industry and sports also rose up right around that same time where guys like Nike, McDonald's, Gatorade are really, you know, putting lots of money and investing a lot of resources in pushing Jordan as well. And so I think for a lot of us who are in our 30s, you know, we grew up with him almost as like an everyday figure in our lives. I mean, even if we didn't have NBA League Pass at that point, so we couldn't watch every single game, you're just constantly seeing commercials. You're just kind of inundated by his presence. He's one of the most famous people in the world. And I think if you didn't live through that, you know, it's hard to recreate that. I mean, it's just the same way for someone of my generation to know what it was like for Muhammad Ali at his prime. You know, I heard stories forever, but, you know, to go back and watch, you know, a documentary like When We Were Kings, that really brings it to life. And I think that's what this project has done, too. I mean, I think it also helps that in this myth-making process, you know, Jordan is taking a very active role in it as well. I mean, not only is he being interviewed, but his close advisors are the executive producers, and they ultimately chose the director, and they're giving sign-off on the episodes and everything else. So, you know, this is, to a certain degree, a project that would be considered athlete-generated content, you know, not unlike the Players Tribune or not unlike LeBron James's uninterrupted media network where, you know, the players are producing this in some cases themselves. And I think that's part of the experience, too, is that you're getting his viewpoint handed to you by him as opposed to just getting a third party telling his story.
At this point, there are two more episodes left in the 10-part series. What should we expect for these final two episodes?
Well, they've gone through every title run except for the last two. So we're going to have to cover the 1997 finals where Michael Jordan has the famous flu game. Where, you know, he's very sick, you know, it's possibly food poisoning, and he just kind of wills the Bulls to a victory, and they wind up, you know, winning the series, beating John Stockton and Karl Malone, sort of one of the iconic duos of NBA history. And then, of course, there's the 98 finals, or season, which is The Last Dance, where they're going to bring this whole thing to a head. And in that series, or that season, they play the Indiana Pacers, who pushed them all the way to seven games in the Eastern Conference Finals. Pretty much the only team that was able to do that during that second run, you know, after Jordan came back from, you know, his baseball stint. And so you're going to have a lot of drama there. You know, the season's on the line. Is he going to be able to get over Reggie Miller? And then also defending the title in the 1998 finals where he hits, you know, arguably the most iconic shot in the history of sports where, you know, he kind of brushes Brian Russell off and, you know, hits the step back jumper and he holds his arm up and that famous pose. So I'm sure they're going to spend quite a bit of time on that as well. But the idea of The Last Dance, the name of that show comes from the entire 97-98 season. So my guess is they're going to be spending a lot of time, you know, digging into the tense moments of the playoffs because, you know, up until this point, the only playoff teams they've played so far were New Jersey and Charlotte, and they handled both of those series pretty easily. So I think that there's probably going to be, it's going to be a little backloaded. In other words, they're going to, you know, dive deeper into those playoff matchups and see how close the Bulls and all of their internal drama kind of flirts with disaster.
Are we going to see iconic sports figures trying to capitalize on the response to this documentary? Or is this really the only kind of thing that an iconic figure like Michael Jordan would have been able to pull off?
Well, I think, first of all, there's not very many athletes who are going to be able to carry a 10-part series, right? And the amazing part is they probably could have done another 5 episodes because there's just so much stuff in Jordan's life when you're talking about his father's murder and the baseball stint and everything else. I mean, there's just so many different narratives going on. But I do think that athletes are very involved right now in the production of their own media. I mean, you know, I mentioned LeBron James earlier, and he's had a number of different projects. But Kevin Durant, you know, now the star of the Brooklyn Nets, has a project coming out this week with Showtime that's called Basketball County in the Water, and they're discussing why Prince George's County, you know, just outside of Washington, D.C., has produced so many different NBA players, and including Kevin Durant, and they go back through some of the history of that county and, you know, also just the population patterns, you know, moving from D.C. to the suburbs and, you know, a lot of other sociological stuff that's pretty fascinating, as well as telling Kevin Durant's origin story for basketball. So I think, you know, a lot of television executives have described this to me as sort of the golden age of the sports documentary, that once that O.J. Simpson documentary took off and had such widespread appeal, a lot of companies took notice, whether it's HBO, Showtime, ESPN, Netflix, and they're all interested in investing in these kinds of stories, especially if they can kind of transcend just the sports avenue of wins and losses and kind of talk about culture as a whole. And so I absolutely think people are going to look back at The Last Dance and say, you know, during quarantine, 5 or 6 million people every single weekend sat around for 2 hours to watch a sports documentary from 25 years ago. And they're going to say this is a real opportunity here to try to recreate that magic and pursue new projects. So I expect it to continue.
That's Ben Golliver, the national NBA writer for the Washington Post newspaper. And Ben was talking with Dan Friedell from Los Angeles, California. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a short break now for this important hand-washing message from the Basketball Africa League's global ambassador.
Hey, everyone. This is Luol Deng, the ambassador of Basketball Africa League. Now, washing your hands has always been important, but never been as more important as now. What I like to do is turn the tap on. Get your hand a little bit wet, turn the tap off. Put the soap in your hand while the tap is off. Start washing your hands. Make sure you get between your fingers, get your wrist, and get the other side of your hand, right? Keep washing your hand. Make sure your hand is as clean as it can be. We want to wash our hand for 20 to 30 seconds, right? Turn your tap back on. So you wash your hands. Get in your wrist and get in your hand. Now, the most important part, when you finish washing your hands, make sure you turn the tap off with your elbow. After you turn the tap off, let your hands dry or use a paper towel. All right? Be safe, everyone.
That's Luol Deng, the Basketball Africa League's global ambassador. Deng took that position after officially retiring from Michael Jordan's former team, the Chicago Bulls, 7 months ago.
Bossy greetings. This is Ezene Kalu, point guard for the Nigerian Women National Basketball Team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Ezene. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out Jim Stevenson's spicy and sporty game room podcast via voanews.com. Jim's latest game room began with the president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to the game room.
There's so many things that you love about live sports, whether you're home, in a bar, or there live.
Ultimate Fighting Champion President Dana White is leading the charge for live sports to return from the coronavirus hiatus.
One of the big key components to live sports are the group of people that you're with and, you know, the energy. energy that you get when cool things happen.
UFC 249 was held Saturday behind closed doors in Jacksonville, Florida, without the raucous of fight fans all around the ring.
Tonight was an amazing event, but that was definitely missing tonight.
One of the fighters tested positive for coronavirus before the event, forcing several changes to the card and venue.
You know, the bottom line is the system worked.
White says the sport will continue and continue to operate better.
The way that this week went will just get better. And the longer this goes, the better the testing technology is going to get and the faster it will get. And we're going to prove by next Saturday that professional sports can come back safely.
White says the Ultimate Fighting Championship is a model for other sports and aspects of life amid the virus.
We can share what we learned here through doing three events with other sports leagues who are reaching out to us and asking, you know, states asking us, you know, a lot can be learned by what we're doing here, not just for professional sports, but, you know, sending people back to work and lots of other things in life.
President Trump called the UFC president to congratulate his efforts as more UFC events are scheduled.
He wants sports back. He wants to do it in these phases. He thinks the sports need to come back first, then figure out how to get people back to work, and then figure out how to get kids back in school. We came out and we were first, and he congratulated us on being first.
Britain has been waiting for live sports along with most everything else.
It is now almost 2 months since the people of this country began to put up with restrictions on their freedom, your freedom, of a kind that we have never seen before in peace or war.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced a modest easing of the country's coronavirus lockdown.
We want to encourage people to take more and even unlimited amounts of outdoor exercise. You can sit in the sun in your local park. You can drive to other destinations. You can even play sports only with members of your own household.
He told Parliament professional sports might be possible under very controlled rules.
Step two could also include allowing cultural and sporting events behind closed doors for broadcast, which I think would provide a much needed boost to national morale.
And Johnson hopes the middle of summer could be a time of further progress.
Step three, at the earliest by July, and subject to all these conditions and further scientific advice, if and only if the numbers support it, we will hope to reopen at least some of the hospitality industry and other public places, provided they're safe and enforce social distancing.
Professional baseball is underway in South Korea, with games being shown on cable television in the United States. But in nearby Japan, professional sports leagues remain on hold, as Mitsuo Kaku, professor of infection control and prevention at Tohoku Medical and Pharmaceutical University, explains. At the moment, the state of emergency has been extended. In that sense, I told in the meeting with the baseball and soccer officials that it would be difficult to set a specific date and time to resume and open their seasons. Japan Professional Football League, or J-League, announced earlier it was suspending matches up to June 7th. Chairman Mitsuru Murai does not have a firm idea of when play will resume. At today's meeting, we did not discuss a specific schedule for the resumption of games, but I believe we have reached a consensus that we should make preparations to minimize risks in order to protect our sports culture, including baseball, soccer, and other sports. Mitsuo Kaku says athletes may soon have the chance to formally train again. I think it is obviously possible to gradually resume training sessions attended by all players while looking at the number of infected people up to the middle of May or after the lifting of the state of emergency while keeping the risk under control. The J-League chief is encouraged by advances in testing for coronavirus. In principle, it is desirable for each player to get a test before resuming the season with a consensus among Japanese people. It seems that various clinical trials and product developments are underway. So in that sense, today I'm seeing some light because that kind of system is underway. The Japanese government extended the nationwide state of emergency through the end of May. Spain this week started loosening some of the lockdown measures that had been in place since mid-March because of the pandemic, allowing soccer players to resume training individually at the team's base camps. Barcelona captain Gerard Piqué said he hoped to have more time for players to prepare.
Yo creo que toda medida de precaución bienvenida.
I think any healthy measure is more than welcome because there are a lot of people who are afraid and have plenty of respect for this virus. I think it is very important for everybody to know well La Liga protocol and most importantly to comply with it. I think if everybody does what is necessary, everything should be fine. The league sent clubs a detailed four-stage protocol for the return to practice. The individual training will be followed by smaller group sessions and then full squad sessions. Piqué says he understands the pressure to resume play quickly. There are plenty of different interests, and of course I understand the implications of finishing La Liga because there's a lot of money at stake. But, on the other hand, we don't like to play without the public in the stadiums. But it seems it's that, or not finish La Liga, something negative considering that we are the current leaders. Hopefully everything will be fine, and there won't be more people infected to start the competition. Barcelona leads in the standings, and if his team wins, Piqué hopes it comes with a social victory. Hopefully, if we win the title, we can at least celebrate it. It is very difficult to think about any celebration if we cannot touch each other. Hopefully, we are going to be in a very different situation, and if we finally win the title, we could celebrate in the best possible way.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And you can celebrate and enjoy Jim's Game Room anytime via voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Four-time Olympic champion Mo Farah believes the postponement of the Tokyo Games could help him in his plans to win another gold medal for Britain next year. Joining us now with that story is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. British runner Mo Farah is only the second athlete in modern history to win gold in both the 5,000 and 10,000 meter events in two successive Olympic Games. But news of the postponement halted his quest to defend his title. And while some Olympians in the final stages of training expressed their disappointment over the delay, Farah told Reuters News the additional time could work to his advantage.
I'm coming into off the marathon and preparing for Olympics straight away within the first year. So having postponed, it actually helps me a bit more because I can do more races. It gives me a year to do more track races and then go into the Olympics. So in a way, I think it works out well for me.
In 2017, Farah retired from the track to focus his attention on road marathons. But 2 years later, he admitted to missing track competition and hinted at a 10,000 meter title defense in Tokyo. But the coronavirus pandemic has made training difficult. On Tuesday, World Athletics announced the details of a truncated season and a series of event cancellations in the coming months due to the virus. And Farah says travel restrictions coupled with the inability to compete has left him without structure to his running season.
Hopefully when it gets going, we can have some races and, you know, could start working towards something, because as an athlete, you always want to have something to work towards, if it's Olympics, if it's a world championship, if it's any event.
The six times world champion says he's gotten creative in working around closed gyms and limits on outdoor running and has been doing 5K challenges and charity activities to keep his body fit. And Farah says he's gotten a little help from his kids.
I've definitely been creative in terms of getting busy with my kids. We've been working on the bridge, like in terms of just getting stuff that I never normally do with my kids, and I'm spending a lot of time with them. And in terms of training, it has definitely affected us, because you can't exercise, you can't go to the gym, you can't race, you can't do a lot of stuff. But I've been doing sort of, I'm lucky I've got the treadmill at home, so I've been running my treadmill, and sometimes, you know, I've been going once, exercise outside.
But Farah says training for the upcoming Olympic Games is as much a mental challenge as a physical one.
Mentally, I think we have to stay positive for all of us. And as long as we can stay positive and have something to aim for, it should be hopefully be gets easier. But at the same time, there's a lot of people, you know, in a hard situation, much more worse than us. People, you know, can't get out of the house with, you know, single parents or kids with, you know, small flat. I'm lucky, you know, I'm one of them people who have got a little bit more space. So, you know, I do appreciate it and can't take that for granted.
The four-time gold medalist is on a mission to win gold for a third successive time in the 10,000 meters. If he qualifies for a trip to Tokyo, he will be 38 when the games take place next July. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Another marathon champion from Kenya, world record holder Eliud Kipchoge, says he's still hopeful of racing Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele at the rescheduled London Marathon October 4th. The Chinese news agency Xinhua quotes Kipchoge saying, "The coronavirus pandemic shredded plans for a race between us last month in the British capital." But Kipchoge goes on to say he hopes he can race Kenenisa in early October.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More football news. The 20 teams in Italy's Serie A agreed to resume competition June 13th in empty stadiums. The date is subject to approval by the Italian government. Full team training will restart Monday after a revised medical protocol was approved amid the COVID-19 crisis. The Italian clubs already resumed training on an individual basis. Italy's top football league has been suspended since March 9th. And that wraps up the May 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.